so here's a, I as a chairman, selected by the main chairman, present you a new chairman.
Deputy chairman.
Deputy chairman. And the new chairman will present you the lecture.
The old speaker.
Okay, thanks.
So, our first speaker today is Paul. And he's going to tell us about quantum lines group.
He will
part, part three, I think.
Yes, by part three. So today I will give the second example of quantum Lorentz group. Well, I will skip some of those details that I tried to explain yesterday. I think it was maybe not a very good idea, but I will give you the idea of the object. What is that and how to more or less construct it. And well, this object is, well, as a sister algebra. Well, its sister algebra is simpler than the one, simpler to describe than the one that I gave you tomorrow. Let's start with some analysis of SL2C. So, Lorentz group can be factorized onto the product of two groups. Namely, all element of Lorentz group is a product of a group K and of a group AN. This is all related to Iwasawa decomposition of a simple group. So K is just a group of rotations. K is SU2. So this is 2 by 2 matrices with a sphere relations. And a group AN is the group of the matrix of upper triangular matrices. So AN is a group of 2 by 2 matrices of with upper triangular 2 by 2 upper triangular matrices such that this coefficient, this coordinate A is a real number bigger than 0 and N is just a complex number. Now we will try to find the SL2, we will try to find Lorentz group which has the same decomposition, that it can be expressed as a product of two groups. One is compact SU2 group, and the other one is the one which is not compact, A times N. This decomposition of Lorentz group leads to the decomposition of algebra of continuous function at this Lorentz group. Namely, function on Lorentz group can be treated as function of two variables. One is variable belonging to SU2, and the other one is the variable which belongs to the group AN. So SU2, so SL2C is SL2C, so Lorentz group is a, as I said, it's Cartesian product of SU2 by AN. Hence, C infinity of that group is C infinity of this. Algebra of function, of continuous function on this group coincide with the, is the same algebra like that. But function on Cartesian products is isomorphic to tensor product of functions. So as algebras, we have the following equality between function on spaces. And notice that this group is compact, so locally compact. So algebra of functions of continuous functions vanishing at infinity is just the set of all continuous functions. So for compact space, continuous functions are bounded, and there is no infinity for this because this is just a compact group. So we have the following decomposition of our algebra of functions. Moreover, we have generators and relations for both of them. Function on SU2 is generated by alpha c and gamma c, but by those two coefficients, by those two coordinates that appeared here. We have this relation, and functions on an AN is generated by self-adjoint positive element A and the normal function n. So these two coordinates are functions on any n which are unbounded. Alpha c and gamma c are bounded, are just bounded functions on SU2. And generators of SL2C can be expressed by this identification, can be expressed by generators of SU2 and AN. So we have you can quite easily check that you have the following relations between alpha c, gamma c, a, and n. Now we try to realize this idea. We try to quantize this picture. So quantization, I would like to recall you the deformation scheme. We are starting here. We are here now. And then we try to go through this way to get here. And at this lecture, I will show you how to go this road to this box. So we'll deform our Lorentz group, and we'll get sister algebraic description of we'll get sister algebraic quantum group going through this, taking this road on this scheme. So first of all, we have to quantize SU2. So there are two groups, SU2 and AN. So first of all, let's quantize SU2. It is well known quantum group, so called SUQ2, which was introduced. This is the beginning of the story of quantum of the theory of quantum groups. This is the first example given by Voronovich. So we fix a quantization parameter which is bigger than zero and smaller than one, and we introduce a Starkov algebraic. We introduce Starkov algebra AC with a delta, kappa, and epsilon. So this star algebra is non-commutative, generated by two elements, alpha C and gamma C. And the generators satisfy the following relations. First of all, we have this sphere relation. So on the classical level, it was the equation of a sphere, three-dimensional sphere. Here, this expression is also related to the sphere, but there is a deformation parameter involved in that equation. Moreover, gamma c is a normal element. It commutes with its star. As alpha c does not commute with gamma c, the price is, when you commute the price is, you have to add q here. And similarly here. And you can show that this star algebra generated by those two elements with relations, admits the group structure in a sense. Maybe I will put it higher. Admits the group structure. You can check that this couple of elements satisfy the same relation as alpha c and gamma c. So it means that AC admits a group structure. So it also possesses coinverse and coinverse. So this is the description of SUQ2 on the Starkov algebra level. Now we are going to the sister algebraic description. So the second step in this scheme is to find Hilbert space representations of this. Yes?
Why does Q squared appear precisely in this point?
Yes. This is related to the following fact that let's come back for a while to the to the classical group, classical SUQ2. Well, classical SUQ2 is just the set of these matrices, and now these matrices are unitary maps. And on the quantum, well, if you want to introduce its quantum version, then the easiest way is to put somewhere Q here. Well, it is just heuristic. You put here Q, and you demand that this matrix is also unitary map. But those four elements are not a number, just but they might be non-commutative quantities. So if you demand that this matrix is unitary, then you get those relations. In a sense, that's why Q square appears here. So you take Hermitian adjoint of that, you multiply in both orders, and you get once you get this relation, and if you change the order, you get this relation because of this Q. This is the kind of explanation, but not very, in a sense, it can be made more precise. Now the Hilbert space, well, the second step is a Hilbert space representation of this object. So we are how to realize that? Well, we would like to this star algebra act on the Hilbert spaces. So so we are looking for a representation of this star algebra AC on the Hilbert spaces. How to get such a representation? You get them just if you find two operators. If H is a Hilbert space, and if you find two operators, alpha prime and gamma prime, which satisfy the same relation as alpha C and gamma C, then it induces you a representation which sends alpha C to alpha prime and gamma C to gamma prime. So you know how this representation acts on generators, and you just then extend by the assumption that this is a representation of your star algebra. So it's enough to find, it's worth it to consider all pair of operators acting on a Hilbert space that satisfy our relations. So first of all, if you have such a pair of operators, then you can see that the norm of those operators are smaller than one. Why? It is just because of this sphere relation. In a sense, those two the sum of the modulus square of those two operators is one. So both of them has to be smaller than one, in a sense. This is heuristic, but can be made precise. And from that relation, it follows that that the norm of those two elements is smaller than one. Hence, if it is smaller than one, then such a number. Well, you would like to using representations. You would like to introduce you can introduce C star normally on your star algebra. Then we will close our star algebra using this C star norm, and in this way we will obtain a C star algebra. But how you introduce this C star norm? Well, if you have a representation of AC given by a pair of operators, and then from these inequalities, it can be shown that such a number, which is a supremum of all possible supremum over all possible representations, so over all possible pair of operators, of the norm of PI, where I is an element of AC, then this number is finite always because of that, in a sense. So this defines you a positive number which has a C star norm property, because it comes from a C star from the family of C star norms, in a sense. Every representation gives you one C star norm, and you take supremum over all representations. So this is the definition of a C star norm in this star algebra AC, Carrelli AC. And now the next step is, this is quite, it may seem a little bit abstract, but how you introduce a C star algebraic version of SUQ2, you have a C star norm, and then you close your you close your vector space, you close your AC, using this C star norm. So you take all Cauchy sequences and take their limits, and in this way you obtain C star algebra. So the completion of AC in this norm is a C star algebra denoted by capital AC. So because C is related to compact part, so you have two parts in our construction. One is SU2, which is compact group. So C is related to this compactness. And we AQ, where it is?
Above the
it is a yes. It is a mistake. It should be AC. I'm sorry. Now, well, it was a little bit abstract, so let me give you an example of such a representation, which it can be shown that this is a faithful representation, so it's enough to know exactly this representation. But we introduce our norm in this way because we need some universal property of our objects, that it contains, in a sense, all possible representations. But we have one distinguished representation. Let me describe it. So it will be, we have to define two operators which satisfy relations that we imposed. So our Hilbert space is a Hilbert space with such an orthogonal basis H and K, and we define alpha prime and gamma prime just giving its value or their values on orthogonal basis. So here alpha prime shifts these indices and multiply by such a number, and gamma prime shifts the next index and multiply by such a number. So you can check that alpha prime and gamma prime satisfy relation for SUQ2. Here also have AQ, I'm sorry, it should be AC. Hence this pair induces a representation in the way that I described on B of H. And it can be checked that this representation is faithful on capital AC. So this is, well, you can really imagine how this sister algebra looks like. It's just a sister algebra generated by those two operators acting on this Hilbert space. So everything is very concrete here. Yeah?
So what happens if alpha prime acts on the element of n equal to 0?
Yes, it's annihilating this vector. Now we also... Well, we also need the group structure on our sister algebra. So now it will be described how you introduce a coproduct on this sister algebra. So on the Starhoff algebra level, you had this formula for coproducts, and how you do it now. So now we will use this universal property that I mentioned already. So you can just from the construction, it follows that if you have any pair of operators acting on a Hilbert space H satisfying the alpha C gamma C commutation relations, so SUQ2 commutation relations, then there exists a unique representation pi of the sister algebra, because the sister algebra is, well, so defined. You took supremum over all representations. So in particular, it follows that there exists a unique representation pi of the sister algebra on Hilbert space H such that it sends alpha C to alpha prime and gamma C to gamma prime. So the strategy of introduction, the coproduct is as follows. You just check that this pair of operators, which is given by coproduct on a Starhoff algebra level. So you have to check that this pair of operators, alpha prime and gamma prime, satisfy the same relation. I already said that this satisfies the same relation. So if you have, so using, for instance, this faithful representation, you introduce two operators, two new operators, alpha prime and gamma prime, which can be expressed in this way by them. So you know that there exists a representation of a sister algebra AC, which acting on alpha C gives you that, and on gamma C gives you this operator. So you, in this way, using these universal properties of your sister algebra, you are able to introduce a representation which is really a morphism of sister algebra. This is just from a formula, it follows that this is a morphism of sister algebras. So we have now sister algebra and comultiplication. Now I will stop here because I don't want to go into details with kappa and epsilon because this is more difficult. But this is, well, you can do that, and this gives you a sister algebraic SUQ2 group. So now the second part of our decomposition. So we will quantize algebra of functions at a group AN. So it was, maybe I will write. AN was the set of such elements. So now we want to quantize it. So we start with Starhoff algebra description of this quantization. So we are interested, well, we can introduce once again a star algebra generated by two elements, A and N, which does not commute, such that AA star is a normal operator. A does not commute with N, and does not commute with N, just does not commute with A star. And you have one more commutation relation. And you can check that this star algebra possesses a structure of star Hopf algebra, of possesses a group structure given by the classical, it coincides with the classical group structure on AN. And notice here that, well, it should show you that star Hopf algebra level is not enough in the theory of quantum group, because here in a, when we consider classical case, then A was a positive number. And this notion on a, well, you cannot define what is a positive number on the level of star algebras. For star algebras, you cannot say when an element is a positive element. Well, it might be treated as positive if it is a product of B star B, for instance. But here in this star Hopf algebra, you would need one more generator, the square root of A, to express that. That A is a positive element. So, well, it shows you that the star Hopf algebra description of a quantum group is really not enough. If you want to build an analog of a classical group AN, then you really have to go to C star algebras. Because in a C star algebra level, in a C star algebra world, you can always say what does it mean that the element is positive. You can take square roots for free, in a sense. So, we'll see how to build a sister algebraic description of this object. Now this we do this second step. We find a good representation of this star algebra. To go to the sister algebra, we go to the Hilbert representation of this star algebra. Now, there are many finite dimensional representations of this commutation relation that you just saw. Namely for each number which is of this form, 0, 1 half, 1, 3 halves, 2, and so on, you can build one finite dimensional representation. Finite dimension, more precisely, 2s plus 1 dimensional Hilbert 2s plus 1 dimensional representation of our commutation relations. Now we have the explicit description of this representation. So it should be a representation of 2s plus 1 dimensional Hilbert space. So we take for each s, we take a basis numerated by m. So m is a number from minus s to s. This is a basis of our Hilbert space, and we define a pair of operators tilde as and tilde ns by the following formula. As is a diagonal operator in this basis, so it sends m to q to the m. It sends a vector m to such a vector, and ns. Is a not diagonal. It is a in a sense annihilation operator. It decreases the quantum number m. So it should resemble somehow the representation of Lie group of SU2. Somehow this is in a sense quantized representation of Lie group of SU2. For instance, the dimension agrees and the formulas are quite similar. But now Q appears in that. So it can be shown that. That those two elements, so defined, they satisfy that relations. They satisfy the same relations, and moreover, yesterday I was talking a little bit about sister algebras generated by some elements. Here this is really simple, but because these two elements are bounded, you can take all polynomials in those elements. You can compose them. You can take adjoints of them and add them and so on. So and in this way you can show that in this way you generate all bounded all operators acting on these 2s plus 1 dimensional Hilbert space. So in this way you can get all matrices of the dimension 2s plus 1, all complex matrices of the dimension 2s plus 1, yes?
What happens if I do ns from state minus s? I should get a 0, right?
Yes, you get zero. Maybe it is possible to see it here, or maybe not. Sorry. Maybe there is a mistake. No, you just take if m is s, m is minus. Aha. So maybe this is plus one. Well, it might be plus one. Sorry, I noticed when I was looking at this morning, I had here m. I made a mistake, and I have not got this paper with myself, which describe all that. And well, maybe there is a plus one, but. If this is wrong, then there should be a plus one. It is possible that this is a plus one, because then it is really zero, right? So now, well, we have many quite interesting representations of our star algebra, and they naturally lead to a sister algebra. So I just said that. For all s, we have a representation on 2s plus 1. And operators that as tilde and ns tilde generate this algebra of matrices, of 2s plus 1 dimensional matrices. So we just define a sister algebra version of this star algebra. It is by definition a direct sum of 2s plus 1 dimensional matrices, where s goes through 1, 1 half, 0, 1 half, 1, and so on. So you just have direct, you have, maybe this is not, this, maybe I shouldn't use that, right? You have, you define AD. Now you should probably ask the same question, why D? But. From discrete, but you cannot explain that. But the AD is a just direct sum of algebras. So you have one-dimensional algebras, two-dimensional algebras, three, and so on. But you have to impose some condition at infinity on this algebra. This is a direct sum of infinite direct sum of matrix algebras. When n s goes to infinity, then this matrices should vanish. This matrix should vanish at infinity. Well, it means that you have a direct sum of matrices. So you have some matrices here, there, and so on. And if s go to infinity, then this matrix should go to zero. And yes. Well, because then on this sister algebra you can introduce. Well, this is a technical thing, but. Quite natural, because on this sister algebra, then you can introduce coproduct, which is a morphism of sister algebra. So we should be in agreement with all this language that I, fancy language that I already described. But if you take different condition here, then you will go into trouble. Then this is natural condition here. So first of all, each of these matrices, for instance, three dimensional, are generated by A tilde S, the A tilde free and N tilde free. So it is quite intuitive now that if you take direct sum of all these operators, well, each of them belongs to the appropriate matrix algebra, then if you take direct sum of all these operators, they does not vanish at infinity, of course, but there are elements affiliated with this sister algebra. It can be shown that if you take this direct sum of operators that I defined here, so everything is still quite explicit, then first of all, both of them are unbounded multipliers of AD. And the second thing is that they generate AD, because each coefficient for a given S generate a matrix algebra. So this one element, this pair of elements generate this sister algebra ID. And moreover, what is important is that you can define a morphism. Now this is an algebra, well, without union. You can define morphism coproduct delta, which on generators is given by the classical formula. So we have a sister algebra with co-multiplication. It is possible to do. And now we have two sister algebras in this factorization. So now we can define just quantum Ivasava-Lorentz group by declaring that as a sister algebra, it is just a tensor product of quantum SU2 and quantum AN, which were just defined. Okay, so we have quantum version of this decomposition. This decomposition. We define a sister algebra A, which is a tensor product of these two algebras. And this AC was generated by alpha C and gamma C. AD was generated by A and N. And almost like in the classical case, because there is a Q, the Q appears from the same reason as you asked, because of this Q here. You can define a quadruple of affiliated elements with this sister algebra, given by the following formula, alpha C times A. This formula, that one, and that. How to understand them? You can just guess them from the following mnemotechnic rule. You write your quantum group. I hope that everything will be all right with this Q, because the place of Q is not a canonical place. So you just take those two matrices and you multiply them with this A0, A inverse, N. Then, for instance, if you just multiply using tensor product, so you multiply alpha C times A, and this is your alpha. Then you take, so here there should be minus here and plus here, sorry. Minus here, plus here. Then you multiply this, then you find the beta coefficient, then you have to multiply in this way. So you have alpha C times A minus Q gamma. So star is here. I'm sorry. Star is here. And you get alpha C times A N minus Q gamma C star times A inverse and so on. So you have these expressions. So you can see that, you can prove that this quadruple were generators of this sister algebra, and similarly alpha, beta, gamma, delta defined in this way are also generators of algebra A. So now you have a sister algebra and generators. And you just the commutation relations between alpha C, gamma C, A, N, and the stars. They are the same as I already described. So you can find the commutation relations between alpha, beta, gamma, delta, just using them. And here they are quite complicated. So an algebra is in a sense simpler than the one that I described yesterday, but commutation relations are more difficult because we did this change. We introduced alpha, beta, gamma, and delta. So we have quite complicated commutation relations. For instance, in the previous case, in the yesterday, for Heisenberg-Lorentz quantum group, generators without stars were commuting with each other. And here it is not the case. For instance, alpha, beta does not commute with beta. Alpha and beta does not commute, and the price for commuting them is this Q. And similarly here, you have a determinant relation, but also twisted here. This is not just a classical, it is not the classical determinant relation. You have this twist by Q. So alpha delta minus beta gamma times Q is 1. And so you see that, so maybe I won't read those relations. Here you have the second determinant relation where the order of alpha d is changed, but the Q inverse appears. And now, what about the commutation relation between generators and their adjoints? For instance, gamma is normal, but it is not central. In the case of Heisenberg-Lorentz quantum group, you have central element gamma. And well, you can look at it for a while. I cannot draw any pictures for which somehow would give you any intuition what does it mean, but Right, this is just translation of the commutation relations of alpha C and A and alpha C gamma C and A and N. So you have such a set of relations. Now, what about the commutiplication for Ivasava-Lorentz quantum group? So if you just define, so first of all, let's discuss it on a Starhoff algebra level. If you just define star algebra generated by four elements which satisfy the previous relations, then you can see that it admits the group structure, it admits delta, it admits commutiplication, co-inverse, and co-unit. And let's have a look for a while at this, at this group structure. So the commutiplication is like in the classical case. Co-inverse also is classical, but here some quantum effects appears. For instance, if you co-multiply, if you take co-inverse of beta on the classical case, then it is just minus beta. And it was also the case for a Heisenberg quantum group. But here here q-inverse appear in two places. And moreover, kappa is not a, kappa is quite a difficult map because it does not, it is not compatible with star. For instance, kappa of beta star is not a kappa of beta star. It is something different. If you compare those two formulas, then you can see that kappa is not a star map. So this leads to some problems. But this is it just happens in the theory of Starhoff algebra that kappa does not have to be a star homomorphism. Now, so it was a Starhoff algebra level of this Ivasava-Lorentz group. And now, on the sister algebra level, you can also prove that, alpha A, our tensor product, sister algebra A, here you have AC and here AD. So our sister algebra A is generated by alpha, beta, gamma, and delta. And there exists a multiplication co-inverse, co-unit on a sister algebra level, such that it coincides with a Starhoff algebra level. But this is, this is the end of the story about Ivasava-Lorentz group on a sister algebra level. So such an object exists, so this is AC is SUQ2, AD is a direct sum of matrices. And my plan for the rest of the talk is to give you some axiomatic approach to theory of locally compact groups. So in a general case, there are two versions of axiomatic theory of locally compact quantum groups. The version from Warsaw due to Voronovich and the version from Belgium from Leuven due to Kusterman and Weiss. But this is very, very complicated from the analytical, from the functional analysis point of view theory. So I would not go into that. What I would like to describe you is a theory of compact quantum groups. So we can say when a quantum group is a compact quantum group. And the theory of compact quantum groups is quite simple and very, very similar to the theory of compact groups, of classical compact groups. So my next aim is to just give you some brief talk about the about theory of compact quantum groups. So this is a theory due to Voronovich. Once again, his name appears. So I still have 5 minutes, so maybe I will continue. Or maybe it's better to make a break now and start 5 to 3, because this is the new part. So I will start at in 15 minutes from now. Okay.